1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's do verses 12 through 20. Maybe 21. Let me see how it sounds when I read it. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Jesus, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Amen. 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 Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God, the power of God, the importance of not only God, but the importance of God raising his son from the dead, because the word of God said, if Christ don't rise, we don't rise.
Amen.
And God, I want to rise.
Yeah.
I want to rise from the dead. Because your word saying, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Well, Father, I know I'm going to die, and I know I'm going to be judged. And after I'm judged, I don't want to stay in the ground. I want to rise. I want to rise with all power. And I want to see some of them folks that I share this life with. And I want to see some of the great men and women of the Bible. I want to talk to them. I want to hug them. I want to meet that crowd of great witnesses. Father, I want to serve you till I die. And then when I die, I want to rise. And I want to start serving you again. Father, thank you in Jesus' name.
Jesus name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got a lot of folks that wasn't here this morning, here this afternoon. So this ought to be interesting. Y'all know I like repeating verses and verses. I can read the same verse 20 times in one Bible study. And I find something different out of it each time.
Amen.
And God, that's how God operates. Now, the importance of the resurrection. We hear on Resurrection Sunday, the importance of the resurrection. Well, the apostles knew it was important. Jesus knew he was going to rise. I've given you those scriptures, and they ought to resonate in your mind, because in Mark 10:34, I sit here and talk about it all morning. Jesus said, I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they shall mock him. Let me stop right here. Going to the Passover would have been a great occasion. It would have been a great occasion. People travel hundreds and hundreds and maybe even thousands of miles to go to the Passover, because it was the greatest celebration in Israel. And folks would come from all over to celebrate it. Jesus was on his way, and he wasn't going to be celebrated like some of us would have. He said in Mark 10:34, and they shall mock him, they shall scourge me, they shall spit upon me. Anybody like getting spit on? Anybody ever been spit on other than Sylvia, probably at that crazy place you work at? Somebody ever got mad at you and just hucked tooey in your face?
That's an old word, I'm telling you.
Hucked tooey. That's some nasty stuff.
Amen.
Amen.
Some people say that's worse than getting punched. Some people say that's the worst thing that a person can do is spit in your face. Okay? And working in a prison, and we know these inmates get all crazy and they start thinking like they're gonna spit. And we got these big old masks we take. And we just put the spit mask on them. And then we put the spit mask on, they, I can't breathe, I'm gonna die. And you ain't spitting on nobody. Okay? But Jesus said, they're gonna scourge me, they're gonna mock me, they're gonna spit on me. Imagine he put that in line. He put the spitting third on the list. Okay? He says, spitting is worse than scourging me. Spitting is worse than mocking me. And then he says, after they spit on me, they're going to kill me. That's what he said. But here's the most important thing he said in the whole verse. But on the third day. He said, on the third day, I'm going to rise again.
Amen.
Jesus talked some, he talked big. I like that. He said, on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And then the apostles was asked a question. They said, Paul, wonder if he don't rise. That's a good question. Wonder if he don't rise. Man and woman of God, we ought to be able to answer that question. And see, we go to the book. Well, wonder if he don't rise. I can hear somebody asking me that, you know. Well, Pastor, Chaplain, what if he don't rise? Well, I'm going to take him right to 1 Corinthians 15. Well, if he don't rise, we in a world of trouble.
Amen.
If he don't rise, and I'm talking all this talk, if he don't rise, here's the first thing Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Yes, it is. All the talk about being born again, all the talk about, you know, heaven is my home, all the talk about, you know, I want to be with Jesus, all the great sorrows, well, I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord and I'm on the highway to heaven. All that don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. We just wasting our time. Every song the choir ever sang is just a waste of time. But if he be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Look what he says secondly in verse 14. And our faith is in vain.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Y'all read the signs on the way out. Read the signs. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, ain't nobody going to heaven. All right? So Paul's message was all about faith. Okay? If you have faith to move, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, okay? Paul talked about faith. Paul said, for by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. And not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Faith is a gift God gives you to believe in his word. And without it, you can't believe. And without it, you can't go to heaven. Can't go to heaven, you don't believe. What else, Paul? And Paul says this, verse 15. And yea, I think this one might be the most painful one to Paul. I think Paul fought this tooth and nail, and every preacher should. Every preacher worth his salt should. This ought to be the most troubling thing that could happen. If somebody could come in and say, you know what, you ain't real. You fake. You ain't a real preacher. That ought to bother the preacher more than anybody, because we want to make sure this gospel I'm preaching is the real thing. It stands on its own. It's the word of God. And you got to stand on it, man of God. Verse 15. And yea, we are found false witnesses of God. Why would Paul say that? Because he preached the resurrection so much. And he preached it so passionately. Paul was all in on the resurrection. I said it this morning. He was all in, all his chips, everything he had, everything he owned, he would have put on the resurrection. Everything. And if the resurrection didn't happen, and I'm an old gambling man, God delivered me from gambling. I don't want to walk into a casino because I've been there. I'll get all my chips on this. I got all my chips on this, and you lose everything. There's no worse a feeling. I don't know how folks still gamble. I've been delivered from it. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. Okay, I don't even play a raffle ticket at a high school football game. They come up, hey, I want a raffle 50-50. I don't scratch off nothing from McDonald's. I just don't mess with it. I just don't mess with nothing. Okay? See, oh, God deliver you from something, you leave it alone. They go, hey, 50-50. No, I don't mess with it. Why is only it's gambling. Okay. Call what you want. And I know some of y'all in here like to gamble and scratch it. Hey, that's your thing. I've been delivered from it. And Paul said, I'm all in on Jesus. Okay? If I'm a gamble, I'm a gamble on Jesus. He says, and yea, we are found false witnesses of God. Why? Why would Paul be a false witness? Think about this. Because we have testified. That word testify means we have dogmatically preached that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came from heaven, walked this earth for 33 and a half years, never committed a sin, was crucified on Calvary's cross, buried, and rose on the third day. We have stood by that.
Amen.
And if that's not true, we are false witnesses of God. My. For if the dead rise not, verse 16, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is empty, vain, worth nothing. Yet are ye are yet in your sins. You ain't been delivered for nothing. You a sinful, sinning man. You can quote 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He'll forgive us of our sins. But if he ain't rose from the grave, he's not faithful and just. If he has not risen from the grave, he's not faithful and just. He's a liar because he said he was going to rise.
All right.
If he don't rise, he's not faithful. He's not faithful. He's unfaithful. And you're going to die in your sins because he's a liar. My Lord. Then they which also have fallen asleep. Ain't nobody in heaven. Okay? Ain't no heaven. If Christ is not risen, there ain't no heaven. You ain't seeing nobody when they get to heaven. You can say, here, I want to see my mama. I want to see my brother. I want to see my cousin. I want to see my wife. I want to see my... If Christ ain't rose... You ain't seeing nobody because there ain't no heaven.
Amen.
This is the importance of the resurrection. This is why the resurrection is so important. Because, listen, if there ain't no resurrection, verse 18, then they also which are falling asleep in Christ, falling asleep, believing that they're going to rise again on the third, rise again and go into glory. If Jesus don't rise, ain't nobody rising. If Jesus wasn't resurrected, nobody be in resurrection. Everybody's still in the ground. And for the man of God, for the child of God, for all of us in here, many of us in here have been serving God with passion and serving God with the hope of heaven in our hearts. Paul wrote it, Matthew said it this morning so eloquently. If in this life only we have hope in Christ. And look at this life. I don't care what nobody say. Y'all can run around here and y'all can post pictures of your cars and your houses and your boats. And you got, listen, this is a hot mess down here. Okay? Now, however you slice it, if this is as good as it get. Okay? If this is good as it get, we are all men and women most miserable. And some folks will say, I'm miserable now. Well, I don't know what to tell you. If you don't have no hope in the Lord, you in for, well, Somebody finish the sentence. But let's look at the bright side of things, because we serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior. How about that?
Amen.
And because he has risen, all that I said, we have been justified. Okay? We have been justified because we serve a risen Savior. Justified means one. We've been made just. In God's eyes, we've been made just. See, in the world's eyes, you commit a crime in the world's eyes. You do something wrong in the world's eyes, you go to court, you're a felon. Mm-hmm. You're a convicted felon. Everywhere you go, you put in a job application. Have you ever been convicted of anything? If you got a felon, you got to write down, yeah. And they're going to say, we don't hire felons. But let me tell you something. Heaven hires felons. And I tell folks all the time, after working in the prison system 30 years, I believe there are going to be more felons in heaven than folks have been sitting in churches all their lives. I think heaven going to be full of felons. Know how I know that? David was a felon. Paul was a felon. Moses was a felon. Come on, the list goes on and on. Okay? Rahab would have been a felon. Heaven going to be full of felons. Okay? Peter puts it like this. He said, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers. 1 Peter 1:18. Watch this. But with the precious... Okay, how would you say it? Before I read the verse, here's how you were saved. Here's how anybody was saved. The blood still works.
Amen.
Okay? The same blood that saved the apostles, the same blood that saved men 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 300 years ago, the same blood, if you say, saved you. How were you saved? But with the precious blood of Christ. Thank you, Deacon Jeremy. With the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Amen.
This is why Pilate, y'all listen to Pilate. I had real questions about Pilate, but Pilate said, I found no fault in him. Because he couldn't find no fault in him. Okay? Because he was the Lamb of God that have come into the world to take away the sins. He was precious. Precious. So, verse 20 says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last days for you. I like that. That's a good verse. 1 Peter 1:21. He was foreordained to come into this world to die for the sins of the world. Not his sins.
Uh-huh.
But to die, listen to this, these last times for you. But dying wasn't enough. Dying wasn't enough. See, somebody said, well, what's more important, him being born or him dying? The most important thing is him being resurrected.
Amen.
Okay? Because if he'd have died and stayed in the grave, it wouldn't matter. Watch verse 21. Who by him do believe in, watch this now, that God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. And gave him glory to use on us. Watch this now. And gave him glory that your faith or our faith and hope might be in God.
Amen.
Our faith and our hope might be in God. We don't have to have our faith and hope in this world.
Amen.
There ain't no faith and hope in this world. And we can sit here and we worry about this, and we worry about Trump, and we worry about Hillary and Obama, and we worry about all this stuff, and we worry about everything. Guess what? How's the song go? Our hope lies in nothing else But Jesus Christ in his
righteousness.
Somebody help me. Listen, by raising Jesus from the dead, God demonstrated to all of us that he has accepted us. When he raised Jesus up, our sins rose up. That was a stamp of approval that we truly have been justified. The resurrection is so important.
Amen.
It's so important. You know, that great verse in Romans 8, I wish I could read all of Romans 8 because I get all excited every time I read Romans 8 and it talks about that. Who shall separate us from the love of God? I love all that. But let me just read Romans 8:32. I'm just going to read a couple verses, and this is difficult. So I just wrote them down so I wouldn't have to go in the book, because I wouldn't go in the Bible. I'll read the whole thing. We'd be here till 2 o'clock, and I'm tired, and y'all tired. We've been here all day. Romans 8:32 says, "And he spared not his own son." Talking about God. Paul talking about God. See, this is what would make Paul a false teacher, because that's all Paul talked about. And when he got the first Corinthians, he said, and if Christ be not raised, I done all this work for nothing. And it would be, he said, I'd be a man most miserable. I done all this work. God has called me and all this work I'm doing. But he said, he that spared not his own son, 8:32, Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, John 3:16, but delivered him up for us, John 3:16. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. I heard Deacon Jeremy say that this morning. He just wanted to talk a little bit. He said, you know, just get this. What a friend we have in Jesus. He'll give you all things. Now, he's not going to give you none of that crazy stuff.
Amen.
Okay? But if you in the will of God, and you know God, and God has given you his spirit, and God is the head of your life, you're going to know what to ask for. You ain't gonna ask for no crazy stuff. You gonna ask for things that you know God gonna give you. I say, God, give me strength to continue to preach the word of God, to be faithful in the things of God, and to be faithful to my wife and to my family. Hey, you got that. You got that. He ain't mess with that. You know? But if I'm asking for, you know, I need a limousine and I need tickets to the Super Bowl, and you get out of here with that junk. Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? How about that? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God's chosen people. It is God that justifieth. It is God who makes us just. He makes us just. Man can't gonna make you just, and man can't make you unjust. Only God can make you just. Who is he that condemneth? Many are the fixes of the righteous. You're going to get some haters. Haters got you. You ought to thank God for your haters. See, we want everybody to love us. Everybody going to love you when you run around here talking about resurrection Jesus.
Amen.
You running around here talking about Jesus saved my soul and he can save your soul. Folks don't want, a lot of folks don't want their soul saved.
That's right.
See? That's for you. That's for you. I hear it all the time. Man, that's for you, preacher. You know, I love my pornography. I love watching naked women. I love drinking. I love partying. That's for you. Now, he delivered you from that. I love going to the casino. Okay? See? And then condemn. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God. What's he doing? Who also maketh intercession for us. Are you an us? Are you a us? That's what Paul said. He making intercession for us.
Amen.
See? And some folk going through. Oh, it's going through. Every time you talk to them, going through. I'm going through. I'm going through. I'm always going through. I got some folks, every time I talk to them, they're always going through. It don't matter. How you doing? Going through. You need an intercessor. That's what you need. I'm just going to be 100%. You need an intercessor. You going through all the time. Know why?
Amen.
You ain't connected. Okay? You ain't connected. You like your phone. You beeping. You got the earpiece in. You know what that beeping mean. That means you need charge.
Amen.
You beeping all the time. You see you beeping all the time. going through. I'm going through. Trouble come my way. You need intercession. Listen. He demonstrates that power is available. The resurrection means that the power is available. How about that? You know, it's almost amazing to me. The power is available. All you got to do is plug it in. You sitting there, man, it's hot in here. You got a big old fan. It ain't plugged in. You talking, oh, it's hot. I said, plug the fan in. Well, that's going to cost you something. See? Paul writing to the Ephesians. I'm not going to be long this morning. I know that. Paul writing this morning to the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:18 and 20. He says this, and this, I remember when my eyes was dark and I didn't see things spiritually. I looked at this whole world and I didn't see spiritual things. Paul writing to the Ephesians, he says this. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What does that mean? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The way you see things, the way you interpret things, the way you discern things, the way you judge things have now been enlightened. Now you see things through God's eyes. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? John 3:16. See, John 3:16 is the answer for all the trouble that I run into with the scripture. See, what is the hope of his calling? That one day you'd be saved. That you would accept him as Lord and Savior. And you would not perish but have eternal life. That's the hope of his calling. It ain't that hard. Don't let these theologians say, that's in this dispensation. That's the hermeneuticals and the high. What's the hope of his calling? He hopes that you get saved. He hopes that you would hear the word of God preached to you in a clear way so that you could accept and receive the things of God and by faith receive Jesus Christ. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Who believe? Watch this now. According to the workings of his mighty power. You know when you get saved, you get some mighty power. Folks, say, yeah, you think you all that? No, I don't know. When God saved me, he gave me some power. Okay? He gave me some power, and I know some folks need some power. And I know where to get it, too. Okay? It ain't in the weed shop. It ain't in the liquor store. It ain't in the weed shop. You want some power? You need to open up the scriptures and get you some power. It ain't in a boy. It ain't in a girl. Them are power takers.
Amen.
Watch this now. And when he wrought in Jesus, when he raised him from the dead, he set him at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. When he raised him from the dead, he raised him in power. And that power is available to the people of God. If you want some power. If you want some power. Listen. We talk all this stuff. I hear people. I hear saints talk all this stuff. No hand, no power. Philippians 4:13. Paul says this. I wish I could show a hand. And say, how many here need some power? I believe all hands will go up. My hands will go up too. Because I want some power. Okay. If it ain't gonna cost me nothing, I want to drive the biggest thing I can. Okay. If I got all power, I don't want to be driving no little Prius. I want a 10-cylinder. I want something huge. I want to be high up in the air looking down on things. If God said the power is available to you. But Paul says this to the Philippians who were going through. Good church. Philippian church. Paul, it was a church of joy. Paul loved the Philippian church. But guess what he had to tell the Philippian church? He said this. He says, Philippian church, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Strengtheneth means a continual strengthening is necessary day by day.
Amen.
Day by day. I wake up in the morning. I say, Lord, strengthen me. You know what I got to do. Okay. You know what you call me to do. And if you call me to do it.
Amen.
Give me the strength to do it. Absolutely. And God ain't going to call you nothing and not give you strength to do it. And somebody said, well, you know, God, I believe God is calling me. Well, God going to strengthen you. Paul writing to the Ephesians, same subject in Ephesians 3:20. He said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according, watch this now, to the power that worketh in us. Man of God, woman of God, you got power working in you. You got to tap into it. Don't be like the boy. Remember the story of the boy? He graduated from high school and he told his father, he said, Dad, I want a Ford Mustang. And then wealthy folks, you know, wealthy folks, we don't think like this. You know, we graduate from high school and we get a gift card to Chick-fil-A. Wealthy folks, the man said he said, Dad, I want a Ford Mustang. And the father gave him a Bible. He gave him a Bible, and the boy took the Bible and threw it to the side. Years went on, years went past. He didn't speak to his father. Father died. He picked up the Bible. There in there was a check for the price of that brand new Ford. See, that's how we do. God has given us all power. All we got to do is open up the book. Open up the book, and it's in there. Paul said, not only can you do all things through Christ who strengthened me, he said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Acts 1:8 said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. And I said, but God, give me this Holy Spirit. Give me this Holy Spirit because I'm going through. And the power you're born with is not enough to get you to heaven.
Amen.
Okay? You gotta have some Holy Ghost power to get to heaven. Just like you'll get in your car. When your car only get 15 miles to the gallon and you got a 20-gallon tank and you're trying to get to Alabama, you're not getting there on one tank.
Amen.
You're going to have to stop and get a couple fill-ups. Okay? I'm just trying to make this plain. The power that you're born with is not enough to get you to heaven.
Amen.
Paul says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Here's this. Let me give you this last power verse. I like this kind of stuff. Y'all know I like this kind of stuff. I just like this power preaching stuff. Okay? I just do. Y'all can have this little weak and wimpy, broke down Jesus. I just don't have that picture of Jesus in my mind. I got him in the gym working out, just like repping 500. You know, just squatting 700 and throwing plates around. You know, that's the kind of Jesus I believe in. I just don't believe in this little broke down Jesus walking around, you know, all weak and, you know, oh, he fell three times with the cross. I don't believe he fell three times with the cross. It wasn't even in the Bible, nowhere in the Bible. He said he fell three times with the cross.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. That's just someone, hey, he fell three. No, he ain't fall no times with the cross. He just said, give him some help because the rest of them jokers was falling. Jesus probably had that cross in his care. This ain't nothing. The Bible said that. He said that. He said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Despising the shame, that cross didn't weigh nothing. He says this. This bad Jesus. This radical Jesus. This militant Jesus. This warrior Jesus. He says, Paul says this about him. Finally, my brethren. Y'all go in my office on my desk. You know, my daughter bought me this when she was little. Bought me this little plaque. She knew something about it. She knew something what God had called me into. And all said on the plaque, said, be strong in the Lord. Amen. Be strong in the Lord. How you be strong in anything? Think about it. How do you be strong in anything? You got to work at it. You ain't going to be strong in the Lord. You don't open the Bible.
Amen.
You don't come to church. You don't come to Sunday school. You don't open the Bible. You don't pray. You don't fast. You don't do nothing. You're not going to be strong in nothing. People look at LeBron. They say, LeBron, he a beast. Look what he do. He work out every day. Training hard, working out. He ain't stopping to eat no Big Macs because they, you know, buy one, get one free. He ride right by that. Got a bag of carrots in the car. You need to be strong in the Lord. You're going to be strong. How are you going to be strong? How are you going to have a strong marriage if you don't spend no time with your wife? You can't have, and you listen, you can't be strong in nothing if you don't have a relationship with it.
Amen.
Look at the glory. She ain't let nobody keep that baby. She ain't let nobody keep that baby now. Why? Prayerfully, she want to be strong. I want her to be a strong mother. And she going to keep that baby. To start running around tearing up stuff. Then she's like, here, Sylvia. Keep it. Finally, my brethren. My workout partners. That's what Jesus said. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. His might. His might. Couple more points. Close out. The resurrection gives us hope. The resurrection gives us hope. Not just any hope. Not just any hope. But the Bible says he gives us a lively hope. Y'all know what a lively hope is? A lively hope is active hope. Some of us, we drag around. We drag around. I understand. Drag to get to church. Oh, this is so hard to get here this morning. I'm overslept. Oh, yeah. Lord, give me some strength. Give me that lively hope. That preacher was talking about. I want to be the best I can be. I want to be the best I can be. Listen. 1 Peter 1:21. Peter says this. He says, Who by him do believe in God, watch this, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. Watch this now. That your faith and hope might be in God. Is your faith and hope in God? Is your faith and hope in God? Or is your faith and hope in your job? Faith and hope in your spouse? Faith and hope in your mom? Faith and hope? Where you got your hope at? Where's your hope at? Okay. Last verse, promise. 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay. Here we go. Anybody going through other than me? All right, everybody going through. Here we go. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother. That word ignorant. I like that word ignorant. I call people ignorant a lot. And you know, and they say, well, you shouldn't use that word. Ignorant means just a lack of knowledge of a subject.
Yeah.
Okay? Amen. It's just a lack of knowledge of a subject. And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant. See? I want you to understand this word. He said, I would not have you be ignorant, brother, concerning them that are asleep. And Paul didn't want them to be ignorant because these people, they thought that they folks that had died, they had missed the resurrection. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Mm-hmm. Man of God, woman of God, people of God, we have hope that the world don't have. So our sorrow is going to be different than the world's sorrow. Because we're looking at things differently because God has given us his spirit and we see things differently. So the world and all the crazy stuff that happens in the world, we're gonna be like earth, wind, and fire. That's the way of the world. Because the world gonna do crazy stuff, and if you're dealing with some people in your life that ain't saved, then you can sit here and know that they're gonna do crazy stuff. What you think he's going to do? You get in a relationship with an unsaved man or unsaved woman and they act like a fool. And then you say, I had no idea. What do you mean you had no idea?
Amen.
He's a nut.
Yeah.
She's a nut. You married a nut. You surprised that she shot you 2 times? What do you do? For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, here we go, resurrection stuff. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus, God will what? Bring with him. I said that's my last verse. I'm gonna be a man of my word. I am. What do you do with a text like that? What do you do with a subject like that? I want want you guys to be strong in the Word of God. People say, well, you talk that strength stuff all the time. You talk that power preaching, power. That's what God is all about.
Amen.
He's about power. We ought to be powerful. When the people of the world see the man and woman of God, we ought to be powerful. That's not saying we're not going to hurt. We don't have troubles and adversity. The Bible said Jesus was or is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief.
Amen.
He struggled. He went through. But the power I'm talking about, this power, you know, these struggles and them tears of joy and tears of pain, but they're not going to stop us from pressing toward that mark. You keep on going. You keep on going. Sometimes them tears are like oil. So you just smooth it out a little bit. Somebody said, you're going to have to cry sometime.
Uh-huh.
The Bible says Jesus wept, but he kept pressing. He kept pressing. He kept pressing. You're going to weep in this life. You're going to cry in this life. You're going to have bad person in this life and trouble in this life. But it's a pressed way. It's a pressed way. And the Bible says, if the righteous scarcely be saved. I can sit up here and preach big all I want. I said it just now when we was teaching in Sunday school class. Let me tell you something. There's a lot I can do that can disqualify me from the office of pastor. There's things I can do that can disqualify me from being a pastor. Some pastors don't know that. You got to call the highway patrol to get him out of the pulpit. But there's nothing I can do that can disqualify me from going to heaven. How do you know that? God says it. If we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us. Okay? Now, we might confess some sins that can disqualify me from the office of pastor, but hey, listen, it won't disqualify me from my seat in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Precious Lord, we just thank you today. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for rising from the dead. Now I can keep on preaching. Because I know you've rose from the dead. And I know I won't be preaching a vain gospel or empty gospel. I know it because you rose. And I thank you for rising.
Thank you.
This church, thank you for rising.
Thank you.
Only one mad because you rose from the grave is Satan. And we don't care about him at all. So we ask all these things in Jesus' name.